Folks, welcome to Paisa Paisa. I'm your host Anupam Gupta, P50 on Twitter. And as you know, the lockdown continues. I hope all of you are staying home, staying safe, and managing through these very, very tough times. And as always, our big, big thanks, our gratitude to everyone, the civic authorities, the doctors, the nurses, the medical staff, the police, the delivery guys, everyone who is fighting this battle for us on the front line and making our lives that much easier stuck at home. Well, today is my second episode on Neobanks. Regular listeners would recall that a few weeks ago, I had Sandeepan Mitra from Open, which was focused more on the SME side. I have with me today, this episode is going to be with Finin, that's F-I-N-I-N, is a savings first consumer-focused neobank. And I have with me Suman Gandham, who is the CEO and founder at Finin. We're going to talk about the concept of a neobank, what it is about, and we're going to talk about Finin, the kind of stuff that it offers. But first, let me introduce our guest right away. Suman, thank you so much for doing this episode for us. Welcome to Paisa Paisa. Tell us something about yourself and how did the idea of Finin get in your head?
Yeah. Hey, Anupam. Thanks for letting me be on the show. And I really appreciate this during this bizarre, hard times. I hope everything is okay and everyone is doing fine and great work by all the essential, you know, service people that they can be from the people from down the globe or all the people until the medical people and the police and everyone. They're doing a great job I call Barcelona home because that's where I was there for the last 2 years, and I know how the situation over there and how we are doing well here when comparing to other countries in the world. So it's all to the people who are really taking care. I'm the founder and CEO of Finin. We are a consumer-focused savings-first neobank. For the last 16 years, I've been living in Europe. Did my master's from Copenhagen and worked in Switzerland for a few years. And for the last 2 years, I've been living in Barcelona. So multiple startups. Most of them are failures. Okay, I will say unsuccessful than failure. And and I had a small exit with my previous startup, which is on how to improve customer service of companies. Because most people they hate when coming to customer service, they dread to call the customer service number. So what we did is that we developed a solution for companies where the customer service is much more happier and a breeze kind of thing for them and for the users. So after I had a small exit with that, I moved into fintech. I was head of tech for a fintech company called Zapper, and then I moved into venture capital. So for the last 6 years, I've been working in venture capital, mostly handling fintech portfolio of previous funds of mine. So that's where I got into fintech. That's where I came into touch with neobanks. So I know the whole neobanking landscape of Europe, how Monzo or Revolut or N26 or B2C neobanks like Monet, B2B neobanks like Quanto, how these people started. We were investors in few of them, and I'm also in this personal investor in few of the neobanks. So I saw the whole fintech ecosystem, how it changed drastically from zero to one in last few years in Europe. So and then I got a bit comfortable in my role at the VC. So I want to start again. An entrepreneur is always an entrepreneur. So I became a bit comfortable. I want to launch something. So I moved back to India 1.5 years back to start something. And here I am with Finin.
Okay, great. So, this is you'll have a lot of perspective from an investor, from an angle of an investor who's now turned an entrepreneur, right? Because now you're running this venture, Finin, as an entrepreneur. So let's start with the concept of a neobank. Now, our listeners do have some kind of idea about what a neobank is. It's not, it doesn't have a banking license, but it still can provide a lot of services that are like banking. So just walk us through the current scenario of neobanks, because the concept itself, I don't think is very old. It's just about 2 or 3 years old. What's happening on, you know, what's happening in neobanks right now? And I remember your tweet thread from early April. I mean, I kind of found it really fascinating from a perspective where you spoke about how customer service for us out here in India towards banks is, I don't know whether it's non-existent or maybe, you know, it's not exactly the best possible thing. And I can, and I do relate to that when it comes to banking services. I don't really expect much from the bank, but then again, they handle my money. So let's talk a bit about this concept about neobanks and specifically from the perspective of customer service and banks in general.
Yeah, sure. Right. So, first of all, you know, the concept of neobank, right, especially it's kind of a butt of jokes in India, because the problem in India is like every startup wants to be a fintech in India right now, and every fintech wants to be a neobank. Right.
So that's
how it is, right? Because if you see the tendencies of startup ecosystem, I'm not talking about in India, right? Generally, so it's kind of, you know, few years back it was wallets. Everybody was building wallets, and everybody was into lending. Everybody was into wealth management. But there's still, you know, the thing is that most of the people we look at what is working fine, and then we want to use the buzzwords and everything. Right now, neo banking is kind of a buzzword in India, where it can be talking about fundraising, or, you know, it's like every startup, you know, most of the startups, they put AI and ML as buzzwords in their deck, so it's kind of thing. So neobank is a different scenario, right? You really have to providing a card or providing a service for a niche market is not a neobank, right? It's about building a proper banking where the existing fintechs or existing banks are failing to do so, right? Because if you see at the last few years, it's all about, if you take most of the fintechs or most of the banks or most of the financial institution, the main goal was to make users to spend. Okay, but all the products, whether it's wallets, either it's UPI based apps, either it's lending, everybody's pushing the user more into spending, more into taking loans and getting into credit crunch. Okay, and if you look at the banks haven't changed anything in the last decades, right? So I have this concept of banks are digitalized, but they are not digital, right? So what happened is, like, before you used to see the bank statement on a paper, okay? And if you see the bank statement, if your bank transaction on the app or on the web, on the internet banking, the format is the same, right? So they changed from paper to app. Before you used to deposit money in, and you go to your bank and you used to deposit money into an account. Now they made it on the app or online where you can transfer. That is the only thing. They are digitalized, but not digital. So what is digital is, right? Digital is understanding the user, understanding the behavior. It's like Netflix. Sure. When you watch something on Netflix, it clearly shows you what you want to watch based on your previous behavior. Right, but banks are not doing that. Banks, they are product focused entities. They mass produce products and they push down the throats of the user. So if
Greg,
you see,
you help us understand this specific example, because I get what you're saying. Because often enough, I feel that, hey, listen, I wish my bank knew that I am doing this and offered me a solution. That's never happened, right? So I just want to understand this, and you know. Help our listeners understand this a little bit better. How could banks actually understand my, you know, given my transactions and help me better? Could just give me some examples out there.
Yeah, sure. Let me ask you this question. How many times do you order Swiggy?
Oh, in these days right now, absolutely zero. But definitely at least once or twice every weekend in normal regular times.
Yes. Yeah, so there are people who order 4 to 5 times a week, okay? And when I ask them, do you use Swiggy Super? And none of these people use Swiggy Super, because Swiggy Super helps you to save money on the delivery fees.
Wow, right? Okay, yeah.
So if a bank can see that an user is ordering Swiggy 6 times or 7 times a week and push them to take Swiggy Super Eats, they will save money on delivery fees. Don't you think it's a good thing because banks have the data?
Yeah, of course. Yeah, makes sense. Okay, sure. Go on.
And most of the banks and financial apps, I don't want to take the names, but most of the banks and financial apps, they tell you how much you spent on food last week or last month, how much you traveled last month, how much you spent on entertainment last month, right? So why none of the banks or fintechs are telling the user, this is what you can spend on eating out. This is what you can spend on travel. This is what you can spend on entertainment. And if you're reaching the threshold, none of the banks are helping you to understand your behavior.
Wow. Okay. That's really interesting. Go on. Yeah, please.
So what we do is that when coming to neobanks, right? So instead of, because most of the app, they will say like, dude, you spent 5,000 rupees on food last month, but where is the click to action? What the user is going to do, do something with knowing the data? No. What a neobank or what we are building is that we are building an impulse, right? It's building on something where a user can take an action or a decision. You can create a budget, say, dude, your income is 1 lakh. So 20% of that will go to the rent. And 10% you will be spending on eating out. So if you're reaching a threshold of your 10%, we'll notify you. You know, simple. So the user will understand, yeah, good, I'm overspending my budget, right? And also, right, why the banks or why the fintechs are not going on the granular level of categorization? Why just food? Why just travel? Why just entertainment? Why they are not showing how much they spent on Swiggy, how much they spent on Ola, how much they spent on Uber, and what times they spend? They are using Ola or Uber, so they know that there are peak times and off-peak times and which things they can use. You know, it's all about data. It's all about data. So we understand the user. We understand their spending patterns. We understand their behavior. We do what is right for the user, not is what products we built and what we want to push and sell for you.
Fantastic. I'm just, you know, so I'm going to just take a bit of a break out here. On the other side, we're going to talk about Finan and the specific use cases, the specific application it's got. Suman, I just want to wrap up this episode with, if you can just tell our listeners, just refresh the concept of a neobank to a listener. Maybe some of them haven't heard the previous episode that we had. But you can just wind up this episode with what exactly is a neobank and how is it different from the regular banks. Let's just go over that for a minute.
Yeah, sure. So neobanks is more a consumer-focused, seamless, hyper-personalized banking where they understand the user behavior, user spending patterns, user risk appetite, user investment analysis and financial behavior, and based on that, provide the best features and best products to make them more financially independent and economically stable, where the other banks and fintechs are failing to do. It's not about lending money. It's not about moving money or transferring money. It's about what the user wants, because every user is different. Every customer is different. So instead of existing banks, what they do is that they divide the users into two brackets, age bracket and income bracket. And if you fall into one of the brackets, they sell you mass-produced products. But instead of that, a neobank can understand the user. Every user is different for a neobank. They understand the patterns, they understand the behavior, and provide hyper-personal banking services for the user based on their behavior. We use a lot of data, we use a lot of tech, and we use better UI and UX where people feel better when using a online mobile first neobank than a normal bank.
Okay, and just on the operational side, just so that our listeners know how it works at the back end, since neobanks don't have a license to say accept deposits from the public, you would need to have some kind of a back end with an actual bank. I mean, with someone who has a banking license, right? So, how does that work exactly?
So what is it like? According to RBI regulation, we cannot take any deposits if we are not a regulated entity. So that is one of the reasons what we do is that we partner with an existing bank and we piggyback on their license and we build a better bank with better user experience and better design and better features. But the money which when you open an account, you can the money goes to the partner bank which we partnered with, so they are RBI regulated and they are insured money.
Got it. Great. So to me, I'm only dealing with you. But at the back end, you have an arrangement with the bank to, you know, that complies with the RBI regulation, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, I think we figured that out. And on the other side of this break, we are going to talk about FinnIn, the various use cases that it has and how it can help you to manage your money in a much smarter way. Folks, don't go anywhere. We're going to be right back. And folks, welcome back on the second part of our recording today with Suman Gandham, the CEO and founder at FinnIn. In the first part of this recording, we spoke about, you know, what exactly is a neobank and how is the regulatory scene today, how it can actually give you a much better customer experience than, say, your regular product. So we covered all of that in the first part of this episode. In this part, we're going to talk specifically about FinnIn. Suman, so I'm on your site right now, and it's totally fascinating because, you know, it says manage, save, and invest your money in a smarter and simpler way. Join our wait list. Okay, so how does this work? Have you guys started operations? So you've got 2% cash back on every purchase, complimentary airport lounge access, mobile protection. But I'm something funky out here. The FinnIn Metal debit card. Okay, so folks, the website is finin.in. Okay, that might be confusing, but I'll just say it again, finin.in. So, man, let's just jump into this. Talk to us about your product. Tell us its various features, use cases, and what, you know, what particular problems does it solve for our listeners. Let's start with that.
Okay, so let me tell you one thing. The reason we are building the bank is we want our users to be smiling when they open their bank app. So 80% of the people who open their bank app right now is to check their balance, and 100% of that 80% are not happy.
Okay. So, you're right about that. I'm with that 80% for sure. Well said.
So, so we want to change that. You know, why? Because I will take the liberty to say that we Indians are financial illiterate. We are doctors, we are engineers, we are RJs, we are everything. But when coming to saving money, we get lost, right? Mm-hmm. Because then our foundations of the country is based on savings, right? If you see it in your family, in my family, mother have more money, liquid money than fathers, whether it can be gold or savings and everything, because they save, right? But what happened with the last few years, with easy access to the EMIs and easy access to loans, everybody were pushed into a credit crunch. So when when I was talking to the people, they do not even have an emergency fund of 2 to 3 months to survive if they lose a job. Right. So when I saw this, like, why are the people pushing the users into a credit crunch? So because there is no proper way to save, proper way to invest, because everybody in the morning, when they wake up in the morning, they open the business page and they see that Apple ka share itna ho gaya, Microsoft ka share itna ho gaya. But how many people know how to invest there? Not much. Not many. Right. Everybody talks of mutual funds. If you go out, there's publicity of mutual funds on every nook and corner. But how many people can do it themselves? Only 1% of the people go to wealth management apps. But what about other people? Okay. Even the banks, when they, until unless you have 5 or 10 lakhs in your bank account, they don't give you a personal relationship manager. So why only a high net worth individual can have a personal relationship manager? What happens with people who are saving regularly 10,000 or 15,000 or 20,000 in their accounts? Why they can't have a proper personal relationship manager, whether it can be AI or whatever it is? Why can't they have someone to guide them, right? So what we are building is that we are building a savings first bank where we help our users to manage, save, and invest their finances in a better way. So how we are doing this? What we are doing is like we give them a save. They can download our app, and they can open a bank account instantly. I mean, in 5 minutes, right? So in 5 minutes, you can open an account and you can start transacting.
Sure.
But then you have to do physical KYC because of the regulations, right?
Yes.
And that will be in a jiffy. You can choose a time and date of. As per your convenience, and one of our agent will come and do the physical KYC in 5 minutes, nothing much. And then you can have the whole banking. Even before the physical KYC, you can start using your account You can transfer money. You can receive money into our accounts. And we are going to give you a debit card where this debit card is on par with the credit card, right? Because if you see, most of the credit cards or most of the debit cards, they give you thousands of offers and cash back, right? But most of the people they do not even use. For example, if you're in Bangalore and I'm in Mumbai, why I need it offer of a restaurant in Mumbai when I'm living in Bangalore, right? So what we do is that if you look at where are you based?
I'm based in Mumbai.
In Mumbai, right? For example, if you take Bandra, right? If you take 100 people from Bandra of your age group and your work kind of thing, the same kind of work, 80% of the transactions are same. Ola, Uber, Swiggy, Zomato, the bars and pubs nearby.
Yes, right? Yes, absolutely.
And why? And if I can focus on these merchants where I can provide 100% offers, where the users can utilize hyper-personalized offers, not about random Tom, Dick, and Harry places where I can give you, everybody will use it. Right? So we are building...
Yeah. Go on.
Sorry. So we are building a debit card on par of the debit on par of a credit card. So we give you a savings account, we give you a debit card, and we help you to manage your money properly. So what you can do is that you can create a smart budget based. You can be asked a few questions, like how much is your income and what are your spending patterns are like, and then you can create a smart budget. We help you to create a smart budget, telling you how much you can spend on what. And once you do that, if you're reaching the threshold, we notify you that you reach overspending your budget. So manage your thing and manage your budget properly. And another when coming to under savings, what we have is like bill management, right? Everybody have Netflix, everybody have Amazon, everybody have utility bills, and everybody have recurring bills every month. And nowadays, everything is direct debit or standing instructions.
Sure.
Right? So, you know, what is the feeling of every person when they receive a bank account? Is what the fuck? That is the reason. That is the expression on everybody's face. Because even with we're talking about UPI technology and transactions, there is no way a person can know who is going to charge you, how much, when, and for what.
Okay. Right?
So what we do is that we give you a clear view of all your subscriptions, all your bill payments, all your EMIs and credit card payments on one place, and notify you a day or two before who is going to charge, when, where, and how much. So you have proper balance in the account. And if you don't want that Netflix subscription, which is going to charge in 2 days, you can cancel it.
Wow. Okay. That looks like a whole lot of stuff that you've got going on. So is this open actually, right? Because when I'm on the site, it says join the waitlist. So what is the rollout plan out there?
So we were supposed to plan by end of, we were supposed to go beta listing by end of this month, but because of COVID and this Corona thing, we are delaying a bit, but we are planning to go beta by second week of May. We are going to beta test with a few hundred people, test, iterate, and go live as soon as we can.
Sure, sounds good. And I think, you know, when I see the savings and investment part, I can see that on the savings side, you can actually set up goals. So talk to us about the savings and in the investment part, like this process of setting up a goal. On the website, you've got some pretty attractive stuff, Honda car and iPhone 11 Pro. So how does that work?
I think that Honda car should be removed because, you know, most of the people, when coming to goals, they think about long-term goals, right?
Okay.
I want to buy a car, I want to buy a house, I want to retire, right? Good. Long-term goals are long-term goals, but what about short-term goals? And the short-term goals, I say fear-based goals. So what is your biggest fear, Anupam?
Oh, to die, obviously. Come on, that's the most basic.
The nearest fear,
I think, would be to live safely. I guess the times that we're living in, live safely. Yeah, of course.
So when I ask this question, most of the people, the nearest fear is losing their job. When I ask people, and when I ask what are your plans, and nobody even have a cushion of 2 to 3 months to survive, they lose the job. right?
Okay.
Because of the EMIs, because of the loans and everything. So what we do is that when we focus just goal-based savings, as a fear-based savings, where we help them to create an emergency fund, where we help them to create an health goal, where we help them to create, if they want to buy a mobile, they can create a goal. Because right now, if they want to buy a mobile, they take an EMI or loan. Instead of that, we motivate, we encourage people to create a goal, even for a short-term goal, and we help to reach that goal in a proper way. For example, for an emergency fund, we help them to have a cushion of 3 to 4 months of their salary saved with multiple triggers. For example, if you're buying on Swiggy for 45 rupees, we round it up to the nearest zero, which is 50, and the 5 rupees goes to one goal. Okay. It's the same like you take a taxi and it is 95 rupees, you give 100 rupees, like, koi baat nahi, 5 rupees rakh le. You know? This 5 rupees makes a difference, right? And the same way, you know, everybody wants to save, but it's a bit, saving is a bit short. So what we do is that we make it easy. You can put a trigger like 15% of every incoming money credited to my account, 15 or 20% of money should go to a savings account, savings goal. So you can put a trigger. So automatically the money, 15% of the money will go there. Right, and the same way, if you are done, if you have 3 or 4 EMIs and you are done with 1 EMI, as you're already surviving without that money, we push you to put that EMI into savings. Right,
understood.
We encourage people into savings for near years, emergency fund or buying a mobile. We don't want people to get into a credit crunch and paying the credit card for all their lives, because credit card is such kind of a product where they expect you not to pay on time. Right, so that way they make their money.
Okay, understood. So a whole lot of features that you've got out there, Suman, for Finn, and I'm really looking forward to the launch. Just a couple of last questions I have from my side, which would be that what are the costs out here? Are there any costs to the consumer?
Nope.
Okay.
It's totally free. We are keeping it totally free, but down the lane, based on how the user reacts to the product and everything, we may look into subscription kind of thing. For example, you know, we have certain features like virtual cards. So you can create a virtual card for every transaction. For example, you're buying something on a website which you don't trust. So what you can do is that you can create a card, virtual debit card on the fly with the expiry date of your own, with the limit of your own, everything. So even for single transactions or multi-transaction. So, and once the transaction is done, this card will be not working. So it's keeping your privacy safe. Right?
Understood.
So we are trying to give 3 to 4 cards to create. If you want more, you know, you can get into subscription. We are working on it, but for right now, it's totally free.
Okay. And just for the user's knowledge, who would be the bank at the back end that you work with on this?
We are working with multiple banks and we are going to reveal it that soon.
Oh, nice. Okay. I thought that maybe there was some regulation that required you to work only with one bank. But it's good that you're working with a whole bunch of banks. So that means, so at the front end, as a user of Finan, I just have to deal with Finan, right? I don't have to figure out who's really at the back end.
Yeah, but it's better to know, because you know that your money is safe and safe. And but at the end of the day, the customer service, the onboarding and everything is through Finan. Yes.
Yeah, I'm saying that, you know, just in case that, let's say that theoretically when the metal debit card comes to me, and why, I have to ask this, why the metal debit card? You like to give a nice
the thing is that the metal debit card, it's kind of a status symbol for most of the people, and it's kind of an, you know, incentivizing or attracting the users. That's it, because we are living in a show-off world. And their best example is Instagram, man.
Sure. And so, I mean, so when the debit card comes, whichever bank is issuing it, that bank would probably have its logo on the card, right?
Yes.
Okay. Great. So, last question.
It's a co-branded card.
Sure. Got it. Yeah. Last question, someone, how can our listeners get to know more about you? I see that you've got a website. Your website also has a nice Medium blog and a blog on Medium, rather. I'm saying a Medium blog. So just tell our listeners where they can reach out to you. How can they know more? Do you have are you on all social media? Just walk us through that.
Yeah, sure. We are on all social media channels, Instagram, Twitter, and please visit our website, finin.in. Please register to our beta, and you can reach out on our company Twitter, or you can reach out to me directly on my Twitter, which is SumanBCN, or just drop me a mail at suman@finin.in. So, dude, I'm on LinkedIn, on Twitter. I'm very open and available. Just give me a message for anything to reach out.
So, listeners, you know where you can reach out to Suman. You know where you can reach out to Finin. That is a wrap on this episode with Suman Gandham, CEO and founder of Finin. We spoke about neobanks, the concept, what's happening on it. And, of course, we spoke in detail about Finin, savings-first, consumer-focused neobank that should be launched soon. We wish Suman and the team at Finin all the very best for a good launch. Whenever it happens later this year, and to all our listeners, I hope that you are staying safe and healthy during this tough time. Suman, thank you so much for joining us on this episode of Paisa Paisa.
Thanks, Anupam, and all the listeners and all the the community. Please be safe, and let's get through this all together.
No material on the show should be considered as financial advice. The material on the show is for informational purposes only. Please consult a financial advisor before taking any investment decision.